Thanks. To the world.
All right. Hi, guys. Sorry, it's a bit of a circus today. Josh is out studying, so I'm sure he's having a fun time with that. But right now, it's just going to be me for the night. So get ready. This is going to be an experience for the both of us.
Thanks, man.
I'll need it. So, it is 3:03 Boston time. In Boston, Massachusetts, Medford to be exact, Medford, Somerville, maybe. There's a highly contested debate about that. As we get going here, I'm shouting out to all those people who, like me last night, were pulling all-nighters to get one shitty essay done. Excuse me? Which is, it's a lot of fun. I know that for sure. All right, it's going to take a little bit for me to get used to this. Josh is usually my wingman for this. But, you know, we live and let live. Wow. So, as I'm trying to get set up, I'm a little late to the party. Was walking over from a friend's house. Today was the first impeachment inquiries for our Lord and Savior, the POTUS. It's gonna be an interesting one, folks. I really don't know what's going to happen. I think this might be the bigger than McCarthyism, to say the least. Because I think in the past, it was just a little bit easier to kind of ignore all this stuff and, think about what was, going on in the rest of the world, you know what I mean? But now you gotta focus on it, and we are all being reminded as to what is our kind of the fun of being American is that we need to pay attention to it and need to to pay attention. And I know that I, for one, have not always done that, but it's a new way of looking at how we're gonna need to think about politics in America, sure. But yeah, no, all right, I'm just going to play something. This is Californication by Red Hot Chili Peppers, and this is J-Dub's radio show, and you are listening to 91.5 WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. So, let's see if I can get this going. Nope. Alright, sorry folks. Kinda getting used to doing all of this again by myself. Alright, sorry. One sec. So, at least I can hear it. Um So, sorry, folks. I'm not super used to doing this all by myself. Josh is obviously the main captain of this ship when it comes to messing around with this. So, you know what? We're going to see if we can't get this working. Let me see if I can call in some backup. All right, I'm going to put the automation on for a sec. See if that can help. All right, so, folks, we're going to see if I can just wing this and talk to you guys while I sort of kind of try and figure this whole thing out. So, I know, it's weird to think I'm going abroad soon and going to South Africa, and it's weird to think of how short a time ago I was just a freshman moving into Tilton Hall. And didn't really know what to expect from Tufts coming in like that. It was a fun time, honestly, to say the least. I remember coming out of high school, there was this whole thought of like, oh, it's all different now, like. This is a new whole start to your life. And definitely one thing that my brother who ended up going to Colorado College, he graduated a couple years ago now. So, to say the least, he was definitely got a little bit more experience in life than I do, and so he definitely was able to give me some advice as it pertained to getting used to college and being an adult and taking responsibility for stuff, to say the least. Sorry, this is a little hectic. I am, like I said, a novice at this. Alright. Let's see if I can't figure out how to do this. He definitely helped to define what was important to me throughout in a lot of ways of like how and like what should be important to people and it was an interesting experience learning how to, because me and my brother were definitely far apart, so it's not like we were always the closest, but to say the least, he we've definitely gotten closer as we've gotten older, and I think we feel like our experiences as people have definitely kind of aligned in a way that have made us both I don't know. Before, we never really saw eye to eye, and now it seems easier to do that. But yeah. He's currently, it's kind of funny. He originally went to college. Sorry, one sec. Hey, can you get Josh? Do you mind just like knocking on his door and waking him up? Do you just mind waking him up? I need some help with the thing. The radio show. Hey, how do you, gauge thing do you turn on the monitor for? I forgot to bring my computer, and I'm trying to figure out how to turn that on right now. Like, no sound is coming out of the speakers. How do you turn on the audio for, like, the display? I'm just playing music through there, or I'm trying to. Yeah, how do I turn that on? Is it RD main? Yeah. Bottom right. There's no label that says monitor. Sorry, folks. I'm trying to figure out this how to do this while on air. I'm obviously inexperienced with this. The one that says okay. All right, I'll try and figure it out. All right. Talk to you later, man. All right. So while we try to figure this out together, I don't know. As you kind of think about how you are, at least as a kid, are the I was the youngest of three, and you know, ended up growing up. Was always kind of the oddball out because my brother and sister were a little closer in age, you know, and so we never really ended up and so it honestly happened later in life as to when we became much closer friends but yeah, no, the, the three of us, honestly, me, my brother, and my sister, and, my parents, I don't know, we are, it's interesting how close your family becomes when, as a kid, I always thought it was pretty normal to, to have family meals together. And, and then later on in life, I, like friends from high school and stuff like that, always ended up being like, oh, like eating dinner together as a family, like that's so weird. I don't know. And it's something I now definitely appreciate more and more as I've gotten older and become more used to having to cook for yourself and whatever and being more independent as a person. That was always a big deal. It also always ended up that we always ate dinner so late. My dad was always working pretty late, and so he'd eventually always get home at like 9 or something like that, and so that's when we'd eat. And then there'd always be those moments when I would go over to a friend's house or something like that, and I would end up, they'd be like, all right, like time to eat dinner at like 5, and I'm like, whoa, we have like 3 more hours until anyone's actually getting hungry. And so, I don't know. It's one of those things that definitely come out of college. Wasn't used to eating so early, that was definitely thrown for a loop. I think the best thing about college is that it definitely opens you up to different experiences. I know I would definitely have a lot of friends who will scorn me with that, as Tufts is pretty homogenous, but I don't know, it's weird how the simplest things can change how you have a perspective on life and stuff like that. It's a funny thing. I don't think I ever really was ready for that experience once I got into college. It's been a fun time. I'm glad we've had this experience, or I've had this experience. A bit of exploring the whole setup here. I'm used to being on the other side. Definitely am more appreciative as of late of how Josh is able to handle this, seeing as I am total wreck without it. But you know what? We're definitely going to keep trying to mess with this. See if I can't get this by the end of the hour. How about that? I'll try and play you guys one song. I would take recommendations, but I'm pretty sure I would just start to freak out if the phone started to ring. It's funny how kind of this was honestly like the first club that I got into at Tufts. And it definitely shaped a lot of how I see. First off, it definitely made me super close with Josh, my typical co-host, whose name I'm kind of cursing at this point. Definitely allowed me to kind of express I won't say my weirdness, but when you first get to college, there's definitely a sense of like transitioning from thinking of your home. For me, it's back in DC, you know, for most people here, it's back in Connecticut, but from thinking of that as your home to here, I remember like even going home for my first Christmas break, I ended up being like, oh, I'm going home. I'm not, I'm not, like Tufts isn't my home. Like still at that point, I was like, I'm still at school. And so, but slowly but surely, you kind of end up figuring out how to, I don't know, call Tufts home to some extent. You know, it probably was easier for me because that the year that I left was really the last year that me or any of my siblings lived at home for a kind of an extended period of time. My brother ended up going abroad to travel, and my sister did the exact same thing. And so the it really, I don't know, I'm sure there's some people who are seniors who are still, when they go back home to their parents, are like, this will always be home. But I don't know, there's a weird dichotomy between how I feel how I feel about Tufts as being my quote-unquote home versus how I feel about, say, DC being my home. Because it's almost like DC will always culturally be my home, but Tufts, I think, is definitely defined me as much or more as a person than growing up has. Just because, to some extent, although, you know, we really totally aren't independent. It's a little bit sink or swim here sometimes. And definitely know that that is something that a lot of people take a moment to get used to. It's honestly a lot of fun to try and figure it out in the beginning. I definitely, to some extent, had my own trip ups and whatever. But, so right now I've at least gotten music playing on the computer. I don't know if you guys can hear it. But, you know, this is a fun experience for all of us. Bad by U2, if you guys know that song. I definitely grew up listening to my parents' music, which my mom, being the Irish file that she is because of her grandma, was a big, big, big U2 fan. And like one of her like greatest experiences in life was like listening to them outside of a bar in Dublin, just kind of like hanging out, not even going inside to see what the scene was like. It's funny how when I was younger, all those little tidbits that my parents end up saying, kind of took on new light, at least as when I got to the age that they were when they had them, or even later on, honestly. All right, so still working on how to get this the music going here. Sorry that this is taking so long. I really haven't done this since I had to do my training freshman year, so you know, that's a fun time. I remember definitely that one about my mom seeing U2, like kind of those sentimental moments have definitely become taken on new light for me, to say the least. As I've gotten older, and like there's certain moments in time where you really like, you look around and you see the things happening and you're like you forget some of the debauchery that happens and some of the like hilarious jokes that you have, but there's like just certain essences of moments where you really will remember those forever, and kind of really shape who you are as a person. I remember like a big one freshman year was, me and my friends had bought tickets to some, it was like, I can't even describe to you what the concert was supposed to be. We thought it was just this one artist, Denzel Curry, but then it turned out to be a whole, extravaganza of like multiple people. And we were like, all right, like we don't really want to wait around for that. And like, just the idea of being like, you know what, like we're just not, like we'll just go find something else to do, because I don't know. In the end, like, yeah, a concert can be great, but it's also like, it's who you're going with that really, really does kind of brings it all together for, all right. Let's see if I can't do something. Yeah. All right. So I'm still trying to figure out how to do this. Which is, yeah, you know, one of those sentimental moments will be me honestly trying to just rant with you guys while I'm kind of messing around with this whole thing and trying to figure it out. All right. All right. Currently, talking to my girlfriend, about who can hear what and who can't hear anything. You know, glad that, at least I have that. Otherwise, I could not even have told you that I was talking to you guys right now. And I'm 100% sure that the guy in here who was in here before me definitely thought I was an idiot freshman. Which, you know, it's fun as a junior to be thought of like that. But yeah, no. The, All right, we're on to another U2 song, which I'm a big fan of, and you guys probably would be too if you could hear it. But I currently trying to figure out how to do that. So, you know, yeah, this is a fun way of trying to figure out how to work a soundboard, is just by sense. But yeah, no, the whole, all right, sorry, lost my train of thought there. But the whole thing with the concert thing that I was saying is that it's like, I don't know, as a kid, you always had, like, it was, oh, your parents are sending you to do this or whatever, like, not really thinking about, I don't know, you don't really have this whole clear view of, like, oh, this is what my day is going to be because I chose it or whatever. I mean, I don't know, in high school, you kind of get that, but, like, let's be honest, not really. High school is kind of a joke. So that was honestly one of the first moments where I was like, you know what, like, I don't know. I also say this as a kid who was like, I go to Tufts, all right? I was not the most independent child in the world. My quirky meter had to be at some level for me to get in, so, you know. Here we are. But yeah, that was honestly kind of a fun introduction to Tufts. It's and the best part is that I'm continually reminded of these moments because of those Snapchat memory things that come out. And every year there's one specific memory of me and my friends just honestly walking around a supermarket after we were like, you know what, forget it, like the show, the concert's not worth going to. And like definitely had way more fun doing that and like much better experience. It's interesting to say the least. I know that I say that a lot, but as you can tell, I'm usually able to have 5 minutes of songs to think about what I'm going to say next, so I do not sound like I'm talking out of my butt. And I don't know. There's part of me that is definitely reminiscent of my time at Tufts after, I'm sure all you guys know what happened this week, how there was, it seemed like a kid of the class of 2023, who must have been a freshman, died, because, I don't know, to think back to how I was then and how I am now, is a whole different person, and to think that, like, there's not even the experience of that person on this campus and how they've affected us or would have affected us, to say the least, isn't gonna occur because of something sad like that happening. So it's definitely always gives me pause to think, makes me think when a community like ours is kind of affected by those things. And it's honestly, it makes me hopeful for Tufts at least, because I know Tufts is not always has some problems, but you know, at least there is some semblance of sentimentality that comes with going to a school altogether. And with that, I'm going to be as least sentimental as possible by reading one of my favorite things in the world to read, because unsurprisingly, not a big reader. I like comp sci, and it's fun. I'm going to be reading you one of the 90s era PSAs. Here we go. I've probably already read you guys this one before, from, you know, our freshman year era, when me, the J-Dubs radio show was just a little fledgling of a being. We like to think of ourselves as the pre-Sirius XM. Oh my god, that's really sad that I'm blanking on his name now. The guy with the crazy hair who always has the weird people on. Howard Stern. Wow, that was impressively bad, seeing as I am on the radio right now and I don't know who Howard Stern is. So this PSA is numbers to think about worldwide costs of American healthcare. And it has a bunch of different fast foods to represent how we are obsessed with fast food in America. So there's a single bypass burger, double bypass burger, triple bypass burger, and a quadruple bypass burger. And so the annual worldwide economy is about $70 trillion. I think it's probably more. The U.S. gross domestic product is the largest of any single country at $15 trillion, followed by China's $7 trillion GDP. Within the United States, comprising slightly less than 5% of the world's population and 5% of Americans, accounting for half of spent in the U.S. on healthcare, that means almost 2% of the world's economy is devoted to just the medical costs of 0.25%. That's 0.25% of the planet's population. Numbers to think about from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Well, I think we are actually a freeform radio now, so would love to... Oh, that's only from 2011. Huh. I stand corrected, old good old bypass book. or not good old bypass book, good old PSA book. So honestly, as I think of my next rant to go on, as I am unable to figure out how to work the music in this place, so it's going to take a little bit to set up, but there's a movie that came out, a documentary that came out when probably, I don't know, I was probably 7 or something like that when it ended up, happening, or when it ended up, occurring. And it's called this, it's this documentary called Supersize Me. And honestly, I don't really know that much about it, but there's another one made by a famous comedian, Doug Benson, who I'm not going to say the name of it because, you know, I've already slipped up once this hour and I don't need to slip up again. But really, the whole thing you need to know about it is that it concerns itself with the usage of marijuana. And I mean, it, to some extent, it's not like it's a Cheech and Chong stand-up special, but it is, I don't know, it's kind of like a funny look at how his life changes because of how he changes this one big thing in his life. And on top of it all, it's like sort of a parody, it is literally a parody of the Supersize Me thing of it all. And I always think it's so interesting to me how there's this big chunk of time for our childhoods where everyone loved parody movies, or at least they got made a lot. Even though most of them are hot garbage. I'm looking at you, Chris Evans, in Just Another Teenage Movie or something like that. And like, it's interesting to me now how the commercialization of an art form like movies has gone through these waves of, I want to say marketing, but I don't even know if that's the right word for it, because like, you see, like now we've got all the Marvel movies and whatever, and that's kind of all, all right, I'm getting some backlash from the viewers about my thoughts on Chris Evans' earlier works, even though I'm going to have a hot take right now. If I had a soundboard, I would do it an air horn, but you'll just have to imagine that. Chris Evans isn't that good of an actor. The only thing he's good in is Captain America. Everything else he is in is bad. I'm sure I'll get some hate for that. It's just so funny to me how, in the 20th century, the whole, like, the only movies that really got the absurd amount of sequels that we now, there is one other good Chris Evans movie, and that is Snowpiercer, which I highly recommend people go watch. But what I was saying is that in the late 20th century, like, the only movies that got these crazy number of spinoffs were crappy horror movies like Jason and Friday the 13th and, like, I'm guessing Chucky and whatever. And then it kind of evolved in this whole, like, parody culture of that. And now we're almost a parody of that with the whole Marvel movie thing. And that, I say this as, I'm going to address a fan complaint. He was barely in Scott Pilgrim. Michael Cera was the protagonist of that movie, not Chris Evans. It's funny to me how, like, I'm not going to act like I'm some, like, big Martin Scorsese fan and that I'm, like, I am to some extent, talking about what he was talking about in that letter that he wrote about, like, what's that Marvel movies aren't cinema and this whole thing that, like, Disney just took and ran with to get more publicity. But like, to some extent, like art, like they aren't art. Like they're experiences. I'll say that. But like, there's nothing that they provide for that's new. Like they're not new. Like, all right, I'll give in that maybe that first Iron Man movie was good and new, because like, I don't know, we didn't really have superhero movies like that. The ones we had were like The Dark Knight, which was like a very standalone thing with a character who like everyone is obsessed with, Batman, because he's the whole like, I'm the knight, whatever, you know. But you know, it ushered in to a new age of cinema where, like I was talking about at the beginning of this, is like we've become accustomed to not having to worry about it, not having to like think about it. And it's worrying, I would say, because, you know, like, I don't know, as much as like this is kind of a silly example, like there's this movie that I love because I watched it once when I was sick as a kid, and then I'll like always go back to it year in and year out, because it's like sentimental for me. It's called Big Trouble in Little China, and it's not a good movie, and it is pretty not politically correct. But every time I see it, which is now less and less because I'm more like, this is dumb, I think about that a lot. But, I mean, even looking at any of these Marvel movies, you see that that's not, like, none of them would ever cause you to do that. Like, maybe the biggest one you could think of with it is I don't know, the portrayal of Iron Man as like a savior within the Middle East, kind of in that first one, when it's like, I don't know, it was like right around the time of, or I guess it was probably later than that. It was 2008, so it's a few years after we got into the whole shebang. But like that's it. Like there's no extra experience of even like having to think about it. And that's why, like, when I see all those videos online that are like, oh, like top 10 Easter eggs you missed. And it's like, yeah, like they put those Easter eggs in because there's nothing else to the movies. Like, yes, they're fun experiences, but are they art? Is anyone going to cut their ear off because they made too good of a Marvel movie? No, they're not going to do that. But, you know, like, it's just like, it's almost like, I like hope to some extent Marvel eventually becomes like the Days of Our Lives of movies, where like they just put out one a year, and like some people go see it, some people catch it while they're in like a doctor's appointment, and they're like, oh, they've like digitally remastered Chris Evans to look like he's 14 so he can play little Captain America, and like, oh my god, like they had Robert Downey Jr. read the entire dictionary so they could make him an AI, and like it's like just some absurd plot lines, like that's what I would love for it to become. But at this point, like, I don't know, like they're trying to get an Oscar for Endgame. It's like, all right, when Lord of the Rings did that, there is a big reason for it, because it's Lord of the Rings. But like, I'm sorry, you're not Lord of the Rings. And like, the half of the sentimentality of the movie, and like why you got sad when the people died, is because they've got like a whole TV season of plot development to go back on. They've got, there's like what, 22 movies now, something like that. So like, I don't even know how anyone can even think that it's like it's remotely in the same league of any other movie, because it's like there's no setup. Like any setup is built upon years and years of stuff. So like, if they didn't properly get across the sentimentality between Thor and whatever in the first Avengers, they had another Avengers, and they had a whole bunch of crossovers and who's he what's it in between then. So like, it's like, yeah, I'm sure if Martin Scorsese or any of these other directors like had that much material to work with as artists, like they could elicit a similar reaction of like this is only good because it's been here so long, and like that doesn't make it significant. I'm checking on our singular listener right now, at least the one that I know about. All right, let's see if we can check on the shoutcast and really see. Oh, okay, great. There's 9 people out there listening. That makes me feel wonderful about myself. All right, but yeah, so I guess I got to say this again. This is J-Dub's radio show, and you are listening to 91.5. FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, which, you know, that's super fun. So the last couple 10 minutes of the show will be me trying to figure out how to put on the automated stuff of this show. Hopefully hopefully someone ends up showing up, so I don't really have to deal with that. But you know, since it is 4 a.m. in the morning, probably not. So, yeah, let's see how, there's a whole section on it in the nifty little, handout. I can't wait to get an earful from one of the execs of, WMFO who lives in my house with me, and she will think I'm, absurd. All right, seems like it doesn't seem that hard to do, so I can continue my rant about the Marvel movies. And, that's the thing that, like, I remember I was once listening to this podcast where this guy was, like, he was kind of getting mad, not about even specifically the Marvel movie stuff, but, like, comic books in general. It's like, why do we need these characters to be built on for 40 years now? Like, no one did that with, like, Ishmael from Moby Dick. I don't even know if he's a character or just a thing people say. I watched Jimmy Neutron as a kid. Sue me. And he was just saying, why do we need these stories to keep on going? And, like, we should, to some extent, at one point, retire these characters. And that's why, honestly, like, I think one of the most informative things I ever read as a kid was the Watchmen comic books, which, like, highly recommend. And, like, that's kind of dumb to say, because they're maybe the most famous comic book of all time. And also the guy who wrote them is honestly the coolest person ever. He's like this weird occultist anarchist dude. Honestly, he's just super dope. So I would highly recommend listening to him to some extent talk about weird stuff. But I mean, he also is caught up in this whole like commercialization of comic books and to a greater extent art, because the dude made one of the greatest comic books of all time and gets like such little money and creative control over it because of how DC licensed it to him, which is kind of... let's see. I think I know how to do this with this whole, thingamajig, when I need to get off the air, but you know, I'm not leaving, as, Leonardo DiCaprio says calmly in Wolf of Wall Street. It's a great story. And I can't wait to pirate the Watchmen HBO series because that'll be fun. Seems like it's fun. But yeah, no, like I, to some extent, as much as I've complained about this Marvel thing, I myself do not know how to fix it. I really don't. It's kind of sad because, I mean, I will go see the next one probably. You know, they are a fun experience to have. And, like, if I'm spending my money on them, like, you know, I don't know. But I haven't, I'll probably, at this point, it's been so long. It's going to be a year since they released one. So there's probably going to be a big drop off. And I hope maybe that's what, like, really gets them to change and be like, look, we had this whole fad, but, like, it's time to hang up our capes. Superhero joke right there, you know? Although I don't really think any of them have capes except for the Strange dude and the Vision or whatever. But yeah. I mean, I just, at the end of the day, it's you want them to do something interesting and different. And the next movie they have slated to come out, I think, is some Black Widow thing. And it's like, oh, wonderful. We're going to have a Jason Bourne thing now? Great. That's cool. I thought she was dead. That being said, I think of all the, she was the most criminally underused one of all. Cause I don't know, like she's a spy. Give her a cool backstory, not just like weird, vague things to make her seem more spy. Like she doesn't know what's happened to her and whatever. But yeah, no, I think Marvel movies are destroying cinema, and that is not that hot a take. I think that's what I'm gonna actually name the version of me and Josh's show when he's not on, is just Not That Hot a Take. And I'm just gonna say things that'll make my my girlfriend mad, or at least annoy her enough to text me. But yeah, so as the clock continues to count down, I don't know. I'll give you guys a little update of what's going on in my life. I'm currently going on almost probably hour 44 of not sleeping, which is fun, and I am propelled solely by my unending drive to create some sort of noise out of my mouth, because I'm, you know, that kind of kid. But that's fun, you know? So hopefully I'll at least crash when I get home, or, you know, just stare longingly up at the ceiling wishing that I had some mega stuffed Oreos to eat, because I'm actually going to say it. We are sponsored by Mega Stuff Oreos. At least in my heart, we are. And hopefully if we say it enough, they'll just give in. But you know what? Like, it's fine. It's no big deal, Oreos. You don't have to return our calls. Look, I guess we thought this meant more to us than it meant to you. But no, you were just like Krispy Kreme, who we took in, and then they turned around and broke our hearts, which is, that's, you know, it's funny. I don't really know why it always happens to us, but, you know, it's funny that we are always the ones getting hurt in the end, Oreos, you know that? So, you know, hopefully you can kind of throw us a bone there, you know, after everything we've done for you. I've eaten upwards of probably, I'm not joking at this point, 2,000 Oreos in my life, probably almost more. Because unsurprisingly, when Wes was 150 pounds and 6'5 in high school, he ate like nobody's business because he ran track all day. But yeah, no. The Oreo organization, whoever owns them, I think it might be Axis of Evil from SpongeBob or something. Needs to kind of look. We will advertise for you. All right, it's no big deal. You don't have to be like scared of us because we're this whole big radio show. Look, we've got 9 listeners. We're a big deal. All right. But yeah, you know, it's a fun time. But yeah, so I'm really hoping that I find the time to run as a sub for other radio shows, and that I just come in and rant to you guys for, honestly, the ranting probably started around 40 minutes ago, because the first 20 minutes were me trying to figure out how to work the board and put some kind of music on. But at this point, I'm not really that interested in doing that. So, you know, it's really been a pleasure, and it's hilarious to me that it's probably the first time I've logged into my Spinatron account since my training. But yeah, you know, we're still kicking strong with 9 listeners. Let's refresh the page, see if anything's changed. Looking for that big shoot up. Alrighty, something has seemed to have happened, but oh, we are now at 10, boys and girls.